Welcome to Life With No Plot, the podcast dedicated to the love of all things books. My name is Denise, and I'll be your host. On this week's episode, we will be talking about two brand new releases, Shantalo by Kara Martin and The Memory Thief by Lauren Mansi. Also, we'll have our teasers and top tens and a whole bunch more. Let's get started. So starting off with my current reads for this week, first I've finished two books since we last talked, Shantalo by Kara Martin and The Memory Thief by Lauren Mansi, and we'll hear more about those later. So what I'm currently reading right now, I'm reading The Vine Witch by Luann G. Smith, and this one, it's so charming right now. It feels very old world and very... just, I don't know, there's something really, really, charming was the first word that came to mind when I started reading it. Another one that I'm reading right now is The Smallest Thing by Lisa Manterfield, and this is a story about a small town that's being quarantined because there's a mysterious illness going on, and nobody knows for sure what's causing it, but people are dying. And the government is not taking any chances, and there's a girl there who was desperate to leave her small town, and now she can't, and now she's trying to figure out what to do. So that one's been very interesting. I can relate to being trapped in a small town and wanting to get out, but I've never had, you know, the government telling me that I couldn't leave, so that adds a whole new layer to it. Then I'm also reading The Athena Protocol by Shamim Sarif. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. Shamim Sarif, I think it is. That one's really cool so far. It's very, almost like international spy. This organization called Athena is kind of running behind the scenes as, a vigilante organization that the governments, international governments, don't know about. And they're going after, human trafficking and... the main character gets kicked out because she accidentally killed one of their targets because he was kind of a monster. I'm not saying he deserved it, but he was pretty terrible. But anyway, so she gets kicked out and she has all this information on their next hit, their next mission. And so she kind of goes rogue and is trying to help them. In addition to them trying to track her down, and also she's trying to avoid the actual people that could kill her on this mission. So, yeah, it's really complicated and really interesting, but it's got that kind of international intrigue going on, so it's really fun. I'm also reading, I'm technically still reading A Torch Against the Night by Saba Tahir, although I didn't really read much on it this past week, just because I've had a bunch of other things I was trying to get through. That's the second book in the Ember and the Ashes series. I really enjoyed the first 5 chapters. I just haven't gotten back to it yet, but hopefully I'll get back to it some this week and I'll be able to tell you more about it. This week's teaser will be coming from The Smallest Thing by Lisa Manterfield. And this teaser comes pretty early on in the book, although I'll have to say we still don't know exactly what's going on yet, so this teaser is still pretty appropriate. So here it goes. On the morning of my 3rd funeral in as many weeks, a crowd gathers outside our small stone church, filling the forecourt and spilling out through the lych gate and into the street. The mood is quiet and respectful, but underneath is an air of worry. So, yeah, this is after they've, they have had 3 deaths, and they're all from people who they don't really think should die. These people weren't really sick beforehand, and they weren't really, really old, and they weren't in an accident. So it's just one of those really weird things where this seemingly young, healthy person just dies from a very odd, sudden illness. So, yeah, that kind of kicked everything off in this small town, so I'm looking forward to seeing what happens next. But that's our teaser for the week from The Smallest Thing by Lisa Manterfield. It's time for our top 10 list of the week. And topics for our top 10s come from Jana at thatartsyreadergirl.com for her Top 10 Tuesday feature that she has every week. So the subject for this week is the top 10 books on my fall TBR. So I'm not usually someone who plans their list of books to read by either month or by season. I know a lot of book bloggers do that, but I generally don't because I'm nowhere near that organized. So this is what I have coming up, I know, for review, and then a couple of other things that I'm looking forward to reading. So we'll just see how far I get on this list. I cannot guarantee that I'm going to get through all of them this fall, but I'll get as far as I can. So the first book on the list is actually one that I'm currently reading right now, The Athena Protocol by Shamim Sarif, which I've mentioned before. I'd actually posted this back on Tuesday before I had started it, but I'm technically currently reading this one, but it is also technically fall, so it still works. So this is actually for an upcoming blog tour with the Fantastic Flying Book Club, and I love the name of their book club. It's just, I love it. It's so funny. This is actually a new author to me, so I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes. I've really enjoyed reading it so far. Number two on the list is Angel Mage by Garth Nix. This is for another upcoming tour with FFBC, and I was really excited that they put me on this one because I've read Garth Nix before. I read his Abhorson series and really enjoyed it, so I'm looking forward to reading this new book from him. And also, I think this may be the first blog tour that I've gotten where I was familiar with the author's work beforehand. So that was really cool. I'm really looking forward to reading this because I kind of have an idea of what to expect. Number three on the list is The How and the Why by Cynthia Hand. This is yet another upcoming tour with FFBC. And I've been really excited because they've been giving me a lot of really good books lately, and which is great. I love kind of building that relationship with some of these other tour companies and other bloggers. And I'm looking forward to this one because it's more of a contemporary read instead of a lot of the fantasy, sci-fi, dystopian stuff that I usually read. I have been trying to broaden what I read a little bit more this year than I usually do instead of just sticking in my little narrow space, my little comfort zone. So I'm looking forward to reading this because it's something different, for me at least. Number four on the list is The Spectral City by Liana Renee Heber. And I'll be honest, I don't know much about this book because it was not originally on my radar at all. The reason that it is because of number five on this list, which is A Sanctuary of Spirits, also by Liana Renee Heber. This is the sequel to The Spectral City, and it's also a book that I just got approved on from NetGalley. And I didn't realize when I requested it that it was actually book two in a series. So once I got approved for it, I looked it up on Goodreads, then, oh, it's book two. I really ought to read book one, because otherwise book two probably won't make a lot of sense. Which, that's fine. I don't mind reading another book. I never mind reading other books. So this is a new author to me, and I get to read two of her books back to back, which is fun. Number six on the list is Siren Song by Alex Hayes, and I'm really excited about this one. It's for another upcoming tour. This time it's with Expresso Book Tours, and I actually went on tour with them for the first two books in this series. This is book three in the Chameleon Effect series, so I was really excited when they approved me to go on tour with the third one, since I feel like I've been there since the beginning with the first two books. I'm looking forward to reading the third book as well and going on tour with it. Number seven is A Reaper at the Gates by Sabaa Tahir. This is book three in the Ember and Ashes series, and I plan on reading it just as soon as I can get around to finishing A Torch Against the Night. And I really need to get back to reading them. Her books are so beautifully written. I really, really loved An Ember in the Ashes, and I really enjoyed the beginning of A Torch Against the Night. I just need to get back to reading it. So number eight on the list is Secrets of the Dead by Becca Vincenza. This is book two in the Cursebreakers series, and I actually read book one earlier this year on one of my first ever blog tours, and number one, I want to see where this goes, but also, number two, I'm trying to finish off all the series that I start this year. I've mentioned in the past that I had my Complete the Series challenge, which I've technically not only achieved, but I've overshot because I was trying to finish 3 series, and I actually finished 4 so far. But the second part of that challenge was to try and complete any series that I start this year so that I don't add more to the list when I'm trying to take books off of that list. So Secrets of the Dead is book 2, and then number 9 on my list is the third book, which is Dance with Death. And I think there's only 3 books, or at least there's only 3 books out right now. I don't know if it's going to go any further than that or go into a book 4 or 5, because I haven't read them. So book 10 on my list is actually not a book. I don't have a book 10 on this list. I'm leaving that kind of, I guess, as a wild card, because I have a couple of tours that I've signed up for, and then several NetGalley ARCs that I've also requested, but I haven't been approved for anything yet. So there could be several things taking that number 10 spot. So I'm just going to leave it blank for now, and we'll just have to see what comes up. So that's my top 10 for this week. Be sure to check out Jana's post over at thatartsyreadergirl.com, because there are links to several other bloggers and their top 10s for the week, and you can just get so many good recommendations that way. So definitely check it out. So this week's read for the Nostalgic Reads segment is the 9th book in the Babysitter's Club series, The Ghost at Dawn's House. And I remember reading this one as a kid, and it was probably one of my favorites of this whole series, and I read a lot of them. But I also really enjoyed scary stories and spooky stories, but I was such a chicken. I read the Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark books, and I had nightmares for weeks. So this book was nice because it was spooky, but it wasn't too spooky. It wasn't so bad that I couldn't stop thinking about it and had nightmares every night. It was just enough spooky to be really fun. So let's talk about it a little bit. Obviously, it's from Dawn's point of view, and it's also really fun because the Babysitter's Club is back together. They've all been on vacation over the summer. We read last time in book 8 that Marianne and Stacy had been at the beach with the Pike family. Claudia had been on vacation with her family. Dawn had gone back to California with her brother to visit her dad, since her parents are divorced. Unfortunately, Christy didn't go anywhere, but Christy has also just moved into a mansion with her new stepfamily and her mom and her brothers. So, you know, she's doing all right. So the ghost is something that Dawn thinks is in her house, because her house is really, really old. She lives in an old farmhouse that was built back in 1795. There's this old barn in the back that's also really a little bit creepy. And she is positive, number one, that it's haunted, and number two, that there might be a secret passage in her house, because that's just something that you expect to find in a really old house. So she actually invites the Babysitter's Club over to help her look for a secret passage, and they don't find anything. But then one day, Dawn goes into the barn to find a nice place to read and sits on the ground, and the floor collapses out from underneath her because she sat on a trapdoor. And this leads her to find that there is, in fact, a secret passage that leads from the barn underneath the ground, underneath her house, right up to her bedroom. Okay, that would freak me out. I'm sorry. The fact that there's this creepy opening in your bedroom that leads, these steps that lead down into the darkness and then come out somewhere in the barn, that's creepy. I would have moved all of the furniture around in my room to make sure that there was heavy stuff in front of that door. And she had even suspected that there was something there because there was molding on the wall that looked a little bit different than the rest of the room, but they couldn't figure out how to open it, or they couldn't find anything that, you know, looked too out of the ordinary so they could open this door. So yeah, now she has this secret passage. And she's positive that it's haunted because they keep finding things down there. Her and her younger brother, Jeff, keep going in and kind of investigating. And the first time they do, they find this really old button and this really old, like, look like it may be from a belt buckle or something. But the next time they go down, they keep finding new things. Like, one time they find this really old Indian head nickel that wasn't there the last time. They find the remains of an old ice cream cone, the peanut shells. They find a book that was definitely not in there the last time that they were in. So every time that they go down there, there's something new that's in there. And that leads Dawn to believe that there is definitely a ghost. And she even finds out that there is an old story about this property, and she's not sure which property it is, but it sounds like it could be hers, where there was this, back in the 1800s, there was this crazy guy who swore up and down he would never leave his home, and the property was being sold, and they never found him. So that just makes her believe, okay, he had this secret passageway, this hiding place, and that's how he never left. And now he's still there, only as a ghost. But turns out it's not a ghost. Instead, it's Nikki Pike. And we found out a little bit about Nikki in the last book. The Pikes have a lot of kids. They have 8 kids in their family, 4 boys and 4 girls. And the boys, 3 of them are identical triplets. And Nikki is, I think, 2 years younger than the triplets are. And he really wants to hang out with them, but they really don't want their kid brother with them because triplets always stick together and whatever. They're kind of mean to him. And Nikki takes it really personally because I think he's 8 years old and everything is just so difficult when you're 8. So the family gave him permission to kind of go a little bit further away from the house. He's allowed to go 2 blocks away and kind of explore the neighborhood. And that's how he found the barn. And then he found the trap door leading into the secret passage. And it kind of became his little hideout where he could go and not have to worry about the triplets teasing him or his younger sisters bothering him. It was kind of his little safe space. And once Dawn finds this out, you know, obviously she understands and gives him permission to hang out down there whenever he wants to, as long as he tells his parents about it, so that if they can't find him, they know where he is. Because that was the main thing. He would disappear and nobody knew for sure where he was going, and they couldn't find him. So that, of course, makes people worry. So now Nikki has a special hiding spot, and Dawn is now mostly sure that there's no ghost. She's still not 100% convinced. There might still also be a ghost, but most of the stuff that's been going on has been caused by Nikki, and now we know that. So yeah, this book, it totally holds up. It was so fun to read, and if you ever want to go back and read some of your books that you read as a kid, it's so much fun to do. I've really been enjoying doing this. And like I said, this book is great. It's just enough spooky to be fun without being so overwhelming that you just want to cry. Which, I will admit, some of those scary stories to tell in the dark, oh gosh. Oh, I still have, like, trauma from that. Ugh, and now they're making a movie of that as well. Maybe one day I'll actually go back and read those and review those on the podcast. That might be fun. But for now, this is The Ghost of Dawn's House by Anne M. Martin, the 9th book in the Babysitter's Club. So my first review for this week is Shantalo by Kara Martin. And this is a book that's currently on blog tour with Espresso Book Tours. And I will admit, this is a really great book to read going into the Halloween season. The genre is listed as a young adult horror. And it's really creepy, but in a good way. So start this review with a trigger warning, which I don't always do this, but this one I just felt kind of warranted it, because this book has a very toxic relationship kind of at the core of it, and one of the things that happens in the breaking up of this toxic relationship is that the guy, his name is Misha, and his girlfriend Tanvi, he takes, he has pictures of her naked, and he posts them all over her social media. So I know that there are people who have had just their lives completely torn apart and flipped upside down because partners that they used to trust have done that to them. So I know that that can be a little traumatic for people to read about. So if that's something that really, really bothers you, don't read this one, because this is, again, I don't usually worry as much about the trigger warnings, but I know that this is a really, really bad one. So just keep that in mind. And you can skip over that part of the book. I think it's like a chapter, because it doesn't really impact anything else that happens later on. So just keep that in mind as well. But anyway, so moving on to the review itself. This, again, it's about a toxic relationship between Misha and Tanvi. And Misha's dealing with a lot of things. His father had abandoned them, but was also very abusive. So he kind of has that, I don't want to say role model, but he has that in his head and is always worried that that's going to happen with him, that he's going to be this really horrible, toxic person. I don't know if he's necessarily a horrible, horrible person. The revenge porn thing, he does feel absolutely terrible afterwards and immediately takes everything down, not before someone sees it. But the main thing that happens with him and Tanvi when he first meets her is because he recognizes her immediately, because he had been having these really bad nightmares about this girl, and they're alone in the woods and something's coming after them and it's really scary. And then one day he meets this girl in real life and he knows that they're meant to be together somehow, but he doesn't know exactly how or why she's in his dream. But they meet and they start dating and everything's great at first, and then things kind of get weird. He starts getting really jealous over an ex, and there's also this kind of class disparity because she comes from a very rich family and he is definitely more working class. He doesn't come from much. He sees her originally because he's working for the company that does their landscaping. So they kind of have this whirlwind of a romance, and it's very fragile to begin with. After they break up, they have this really, really terrifying situation where they get kidnapped. Well, I think they were originally going for Tanvi because they were going to try and ransom her from her rich family. But Misha has been kind of not really stalking. I mean, well, no, he was stalking. He was, you know, waiting outside her house to see if he could see her, not to talk to her, do anything, but, you know, it's still really kind of a creepy thing to do, Misha. But he sees this happening, he tries to intervene, and he ends up getting kidnapped too. And the kidnappers take them to this old house. And that's when all of the really creepy stuff happens, because this old house and the woods around it is the location of Misha's nightmares that he had been having. The thing is, I don't really think that the whole nightmare thing was ever really explained, like why he was having the nightmares to begin with or where they came from, but they end up at this place and there's this vengeful ghost and it's all kinds of really creepy things go on. I'm not going to go into all of them, but the ghost is trying to kill people. It's just as simple as that. And several of the kidnappers, because there's four of them, they don't necessarily even seem like terrible people. I mean, they're just trying to get money. They're not trying to hurt anyone, or at least that's what they keep saying. But they're still kind of terrible people. That was also a thing, that most of the people in this book were kind of terrible people. But, you know, that also kind of made it realistic within this kind of fantastical horror setting, because, you know, there's a lot of terrible people out there that just make really, really, really bad choices. But this vengeful ghost ends up taking out at least two of the kidnappers, and one of them's disappeared. We don't know for sure what happened to him, but they're trying to get away and they can't, and they wander through the woods and they keep coming back to the house. And it's, like I said, it's really, really creepy, and I don't want to give away any spoilers for how everything ends up, but it's just, you get goosebumps as you're reading it, because and towards the end, you really don't think that they're going to survive. It's one of those horror situations where you don't think they're going to make it. Now, I also will say, I didn't really include this as a trigger warning, because if you're reading a horror novel, you kind of expect some blood and gore. But there is some blood and gore. So, if you have a weak stomach, maybe not this book for you. But, otherwise, if you're looking for something that's really good and spooky going into Halloween, check this out, because it's really creepy. I gave it 4 stars on Goodreads, so, yeah, you might want to check this one out. That is Shantalo by Kara Martin. So my second review for this week is The Memory Thief by Lauren Mansey. And I got this one from NetGalley. It is a brand new release. And I loved this book. This book was great. It's a YA fantasy. And the other thing that was nice, it's a fantasy, but it's also a standalone book. So much fantasy literature is part of a series or part of this big, huge, overarching thing. But this one's pretty much its own thing. So that's kind of unusual, and I actually really appreciated that. Although I will say that it did kind of make the ending feel a little bit rushed. Not so much that it's not enjoyable, but you could kind of see that the author was going somewhere with this bigger story and was like, oh, well, if it's going to be a standalone, we need to wrap this up. So it was a little rushed at the end, but definitely did not spoil the story itself. So let's talk a little bit about that story. First off, I always like to talk with a fantasy, talk about the story world. And this story world is really cool. Basically, memories are sort of used as currency. They can be given. You can take someone's memory from them. You can use them to buy or trade. And so, this, number one, that's a really interesting idea. But number two, the thing that I really liked that kind of made it rooted in something that felt more real is because there's consequences to doing this. For example, one thing that would happen was, like, the really rich people in this world would spend their money in buying up happy memories so they would be full of all these happy memories. And that was one way that the poor people could kind of get money. But once you start filling up with other people's memories, you kind of lose who you are. And they even have people that, because your brain can only do so much, and they can become so overloaded that it actually makes them lose their sanity and they end up in an asylum. So, because that's kind of a scary thing if you think about it, but it's also a really interesting way of setting up this story world. And another thing that was really neat about this is you can essentially learn a skill or a talent by taking someone's memory who had that talent. Because, I mean, let's be honest, like someone who's like a really good, like say a fighter, like a swordsman, or even like someone who does martial arts, like a lot of that is muscle memory that you just learn and practice over and over again. So it's a physical thing that you teach yourself, but it's also memory. And if you take that memory, you learn that skill. So that kind of sets up this world and how it's set up. There are all these realms, and the main one that we're in, where we start off, is Craywick, which is ruled by this woman. They call her Madam. They don't really give her real name. And she is this power-hungry, paranoid in a lot of ways, ruler, because her father, who was the previous ruler, was murdered. So this has led her to really crack down on everything going on in Craywick. So our main character, her name is Etta, which is short for Julietta. Some people also call her Jules. And she is a thief. And we find out that she has been kind of laying low for a while. Her mother is in the asylum and has actually, you find out, she has been granted a place in the asylum by Madame herself, because Etta used to be part of this group called the Shadows, who are kind of working, and not really crime, but they're kind of working against the ruling class a bit. And Etta is really, she's trying to protect her mom, and she's trying to protect, she has this other little girl who's kind of attached herself to her, because she's an orphan and she doesn't have anyone else. And the little girl's name is Ryder, and she is just the cutest thing. And it's this feisty little firecracker of a kid. And so they're kind of together, and Etta's looking after her, but she kind of gets pulled into all of this other stuff because her mother is about to be put up for auction. Because that's something that they do with criminals, is they put their, essentially their memories up for auction. And once you have no more memories and your brain kind of shuts down, and that's, it's really a painful way to die. So for whatever reason, her mother is now going to be up for auction because she's not considered to be of value to them anymore. So now Etta has to go and has made contact with the Shadows, mostly because Ryder forced her to. And she has to go and find these other people that had been captured by the leader of another one of the realms, because part of the reason he was captured was because of her, and that's why she distanced herself from the Shadows to begin with. So it's a little bit complicated, but that was kind of the best part of the book, because there were a lot of twists and turns, especially once Etta meets up with the Shadows and meets up with Reed, who is assigned to go with her on this mission to find these people. The thing that's so, the best thing about, and I love this when stories do this, is because, just because you have the good people and the bad people, in theory, you have your protagonists and your antagonists, but your protagonists are not necessarily good people. Now, your antagonist, your main one, is Madame, and she is terrible. But, you know, Etta is very morally gray. She's made a lot of mistakes, and I don't think she never ever meant to, but it just sort of happened. The leader of the Shadows, you would think that this rebel organization that's trying to work behind the scenes and trying to, in theory, protect people, they'd be the good guys. But their leader is really, really not best guy. He's very, not, I will say one-dimensional, but he's very black and white. And once you cross him, that's it. He doesn't trust Etta anymore. And he lashes out up to everyone. And, you know, it's really interesting to kind of see that disconnect between these are the good guys, but they're still doing bad things. But again, that's kind of realistic, isn't it? That's kind of how real life is. You have people who are supposed to be the good people, but that doesn't mean that they're always doing good things all the time. So when you see that in a fantasy story, it really just makes the story more rich. And because this does kind of twist and turn around a lot, it's really hard to go into a lot of the specifics without giving away a lot of spoilers. So I'm just going to say that if you like fantasy, and you're looking for a new fantasy author and a new fantasy story, something that you don't have to invest a lot of time in, because this is only one book, not like a series of 3 or 5 or 7 or 14. Definitely check this one out, because I will say that it has a lot of twists and turns, a lot of interesting revelations, and then a really good final showdown. I will say that. So I gave it 4 stars. So a very good book. Definitely check it out. So that is The Memory Thief by Lauren Mansi. So that's it for the show this week, and if you would like to participate in the podcast, I would love to hear from you. You can leave comments over at either lifewithnoplot.com or lifewithnoplotpodcast.com. I'm kind of in both places right now as I'm working out some things. You can leave comments there. You can also email me at lifewithnoplot@gmail.com, and you can give any sort of feedback or any comments if you would like to add to the top 10 list, if you would like like to offer book recommendations. All of those things I love to hear about. And I did actually get a little tiny bit of feedback last week from my friend Jess, who I had mentioned before. And you can find her at jessreadstoomuch.wordpress.com. And she mentioned, and she's right, and this is why I did the podcast with her before, is because she had all the great ideas, but I should have called this the Life with No Plotcast. Okay, yeah, that was a missed opportunity. I agree, and maybe I'll change it, but for right now, I'm just going to keep it the same. But that does sound better, doesn't it? Oh well. But anyway, so if you have any feedback, any comments, anything, please either leave comments or send an email. Also, we are on iTunes and on Spotify, so if you could subscribe or like or follow, please do so, because that will get me in front of more people, hopefully. So you can always just still listen to it on the website itself, but if you can still just subscribe or follow on one of those platforms, that would really, really help. Also, if you have a review for the podcast and put that up on iTunes, that would be awesome as well. And I'll definitely give you a shout out if you do so. So yeah, that's it for this week. And I will be back next week with more reviews and more top tens and teasers and a lot more. So until then, happy reading, and we'll see you next time.